Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dawson's Darlings. Today, we will be discussing Season 6, Episode 20, Catch 22.
You're always doing a little something different.
Well, you know, I gotta keep the audience on their toes.
Yeah. Do you ever do the thing where you're like, I discovered that this is not a normal thing to do on road trips, but maybe you do it because we're so cute. When I'm driving a place long distance, I'll be like, okay, now there's officially 1 hour left. And then once I'm in the same, like if the map says I'll get there at like 4:45 and it's 4 o'clock, I'll be like, okay, now I'm in the same like hour of getting to the place. Now I'm in a half an hour. You know what I mean? Do you ever do that or am I just weird?
What's the point of this?
Well, it's episode. There's only 24 episodes, so now we're in episode 20. So now we're in the 20s. What's the point of this? What? Fuck off! What's the point of anything? How dare you? Jesus Christ! What's the point of this?
Sure
I don't know, Taz. There's no fucking point to any of this. What do you need from me right now?
Wow, Kim's going through it today. So yes, we are now in the 20s. It's exciting, more so for Kim, and it's gonna be great.
We're laying in the plane, baby.
Yeah,
we have the rest of the episodes to record scheduled.
Yeah, let's see how quickly that can get fucked up.
I got them on my calendar, so for me, zero.
Ah,
we'll see.
And I text Kim when I'm just like, what time were we recording today?
Yeah, it's
cool. Because I never remember.
That's fine. It's in my calendar. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, I know there's a way I can remember. I just don't. I don't know why.
You know, at the end, episode 20 of 24, season 6, episode 20 of all those episodes, would you like me to send you a calendar invite?
Aww. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that when we hang up.
But not for your whole calendar, because you are crazy and like you schedule everything.
It's overwhelming. It helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
She's like, wake up.
I do have like, Jim, get ready for the day. Like stupid shit like that.
Oh my God, really?
Writing. Yeah.
I was just joking, but that's real. Okay.
That's real. Yeah. I don't know what hell. Anyway, hey, the streamer episode description says, as Eddie surprises Joey with an elaborate end of school year gift, Pacey's dreams come crashing down on the heels of a favorite stocks meltdown.
Spoiler.
I know. This episode first aired April 23rd, 2003. It was written by Laura Glazer, who has a story editor credit on one of West Wing's, one of my favorite episodes of theirs called Hartsfield's Landing, which they later did as like a special play during COVID. The cast got together, did a reunion, a little play version of this
via
episode.
Zoom?
No, in person.
Whoa, rule breakers.
Rule breakers, but well, it was when they could do it. And they all got together and there's like all the BTS is like, masks and face shields and very slimmed down crew all in masks and everything. It was right when like things were first starting back up.
I just got the chills because I got PTSD thinking about working on a set during that time.
Terrible.
Oh God, it was awful.
I was directed by Robert Duncan McNeil.
Nice. RDM.
Aw. Cold open. Pace is at a fancy restaurant and he's looking like kind of like a sad boy until
it looks a lot like Civilization.
Yeah, it looks like civil. It definitely they just
it's like the recycled set.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I was like. Oh shit, Danny, you back there?
Danny's like, hey, oh, Pacey, come fucking slice these potatoes.
I gotta go cheat on my wife.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. He looks kind of sad until Sadia, the reporter who wrote that story about Pacey a few episodes back. You remember that? Or was it just It was two episodes ago.
Two episodes.
Yeah. She sits down. They are on a date.
Mm. He orders her some red wine, aka cranberry juice, and it's just sitting there waiting for her. And women, ladies, we know the rules. We order our own drinks so that we can see it coming from the bar.
Yeah.
Not that Pacey would ever do such a thing, but
no,
I'm taking this as a teaching moment for our younger viewers, our younger listeners, because I like to see myself as some kind of like a wise older sister figure to you all.
Wow. First of all, she's not old.
No, older.
Yes.
Than you guys.
Yeah. But younger than me, as we all know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say it. Kim did, but we were all thinking it.
Okay, yeah, you weren't going to think it. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I didn't say it out loud.
Your eyes said it.
Anyway, so he ordered this chicken drink.
Yeah. She asks why it took Pacey so long to ask her out, and he says that he was for a while otherwise engaged, but quote, that's taken care of now, which to me gave he murdered Joey vibes.
Yeah. I hid the body pretty well, so I think we're good, babe.
Yeah, I don't drink that drink, I think.
Also, it's only been two episodes, lady. Relax.
Yeah, calm down. And like he firmly had a girlfriend.
Joey Potter. Her.
Everybody has. Act one. In the dorm room, Eddie and Joey are having a argument about books. Fucking nerds.
What are they on? Goodreads? I'm on Goodreads, by the way, you guys.
They're having a very nerdy argument about books while Joey studies for Hudson's final. So. And then Audrey comes in. She's in a huff because it turns out that getting drunk and then leaving to go do rehab didn't get her the most best grades. And so she's either going to get kicked out or she has to sign up for summer school.
I mean, not going to school doesn't get you good grades? That's crazy.
It seems very silly to me, but I don't know. Whatever.
So she's upset because she has to stay in school for the summer, even though literally all of her friends live in outside of Boston. So she could probably just like hang out in Cape Side and commute. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's not my life. It's hers.
Yeah. Yeah. She does not want to do summer school. So she's going to go negotiate.
I don't know what that entails, but with Audrey, we'll never know.
We'll never know. And then it's just Eddie and Joey again trying to figure out where they're going to leave once Joey is done for the semester, because apparently Eddie lives in the dorm now.
Yeah, he gave up his apartment in Boston, and now he's just freeloading off of Joey. It seems like.
What's up?
It seems like he just wanted to come back to Boston and was like, "Ugh, I have nowhere to stay, though. I know. I can convince Joey Potter that she's my muse and that I love her, and I could just live in her shared dorm room forever." I think that's what's his plan.
And then get mad because she doesn't want to have sex when the only place they could have sex stuff is the dorm she shares with Audrey.
It's not that she doesn't want to have sex. She doesn't want to get with him.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
What would you get with me?
Oh, you don't want to do get with me stuff?
Get stuff.
So originally the plan for the summer was to go back to Cape Side. They together were going to go back to Cape Side, stay with Bess, and save money, which everybody, this is the best advice that I have ever gotten in my entire life. And you better believe, like a fucking moth to a flame, I did not fucking follow this advice.
Sure.
Not even for an instant. Didn't even think about it. Live as cheap as you can for as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with Bess for the summer. Make that money. Get that paper.
Make sure Bess knows about it, though. I have a feeling you didn't really run this by her.
Not about Eddie. For sure.
And I guess Mr. Potter lives there now.
Yeah, because Eddie's like, I don't want to go back with Bess and have your dad give me a hard time about the future.
So poor Bess, everyone's just living there.
I know.
She's like, I got a kid. P&P. This is she a business.
Where's Bodhi her husband? Has
been, yeah, Bodhi's been MIA since season 3.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's all.
So that's their plan.
Yeah, good luck. So he doesn't want to do it. Instead, Eddie wants to spend some time with Joey, which Joey was like, yeah,
that's what we would do at Bess's.
Yeah. he's got some secret plans that she does not know about yet.
Secret plans. Mm-hmm.
Then we're at the helpline where David is trying to help someone, and then Jack is there to try and talk to him. But David's still pissed off about that one argument. And according to David, even though he was like, take your time, David's like, we broke up.
Take your time, but we fucking broke up. Okay. David is very petty.
He's very petty. David, you're not going to find somebody to do long-term love with if this is like game over for you that fast.
Also, you're not going to find someone like Jack.
No.
Just letting you know. He has some serious trust issues, though.
Jack?
Someone who works
David?
At a... No, David.
Oh, yeah.
For someone who works at a help hotline, he can use some himself.
Oh!
After school special, baby.
You know?
You know?
Oh, Jack. Jack's got like sad boy eyebrows too. He's
there.
Yeah,
he's like, God damn it, I'm too tired for this.
Then David agrees to possibly talk the next night after work. It's like not fully set in stone. He's like, maybe I'll be there. It depends. I don't know. I've got to work. Maybe I'll come by afterwards. It's all very maybe.
Playing it cash.
Yeah. Then we're at Pacey's fake job. He walks into a conference room, fucking throws down his briefcase, and he's like, boys, idiots, I had sex the night before. And I had sex because I have fucking money. And I have money because I have this job. And if you losers want to have my same vibe, come back here on Monday. If you're late, kill yourself. I don't know. And then he walks out and he talks to Rich. It's the same speech that Rich gave him when he first started.
Yeah.
I just realized his name is Rich.
Oh, of course it is.
He's trying to get the Rich.
Oh.
I hate it. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Double entendre. The only thing that would have made that speech more bearable for me if Pacey was like, boys, I had sex last night for the first time. It was magical. It was magical. I cried afterwards, but only a little bit.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Oh, Pacey, what has become of you?
I don't know. Then he gets to talk to Rich about the Stepatec stock, which does not have an FDA approval yet, but the stock is still rising. So he's like, great. And then Rich is like, now tell me about the sex you had last night with the woman that I also kind of know a little bit.
Because we're men and that's what we talk about.
Yeah. Hate it.
Yeah, it's gross. It's also a shame that this Rich guy never got braces when he was young.
Holy shit.
It's just, we were all thinking it.
I never once thought it. I love that you
okay.
thought it.
So you're so much better than the rest of us.
No. Hey, no.
Whatever.
In this we're one allowed regard, to make, perhaps.
We, in this house, we bully the bullies. Got that from a podcast I listened to.
Cool. Which one?
Don't
do that.
Is it This American Life?
Jesus Christ.
Just
I
kidding.
Hurt my feelings.
Here's what's happening. It's a podcast that Kim does about the news.
It's just for Zaz. You can listen if you want, but it's just for Zaz.
And when she tells you she's proud of you, she means just me.
True.
Unless you need to hear it that day.
Then you could have it if you need it, but know that I'm thinking of Zaz when I say it.
Yeah, so suck it.
Yeah. But I do have friends that'll be like, oh, and then I like that you tell me you're proud of me. And I'm like, no one listens to this podcast, so I could say.
This is awkward.
I say, yeah, totally you.
losers.
Act two the next morning. Pacey's in bed with Sadia, and they turn on. He turns on the TV to check the step attack ruling.
And I'm with Sadia on this. She's like, "Whoa, this is romantic. What a vibe you're putting out there." And he's like, "Oh, sorry, I just money, you know."
Gotta check those stocks.
Bro. Gotta check my stocks. I'm a money man.
I'm a money man now. I've had my heart broken. He literally says, she's like, how'd you get to be? Also, he has like an L.L. Bean catalog on his side.
Well, that's the true sign of an adult back in 2003.
Yeah. She's like, how'd you get to be so wise about your career? And he's like, I'm focused on my career because a woman broke my heart. And he talks about it for a really long time. I use shorter words, but that is basically his vibe. He's like, I'm a money man now because I'm not a lover.
Yeah. Your career can cuddle you in bed at night and tell you it loves you. And you know who can't do that? Joey Pat. I mean, a woman, you know. And then Sadi is all casually like, I have a boyfriend. It's so weird.
It's so weird. And his eyes get big for like a second. And then he's like, fuck it, actually.
He's like, oh, all right, whatever. Money.
It's not like Pacey at all.
I know. I thought once we got rid of the goatee, we were going to get old Pacey back, but he is just spiraling our little sad boy Pace.
Just because you can see his chin doesn't mean you can see his heart.
You're right. The chin is not the skyline to the spirit. We all know that that's what a beard is.
Oh my goodness. And that's why there's that beautiful documentary, award-winning documentary.
Mm.
Beards, the skyline to the spirit.
The other night, this is like totally off topic. We watched a documentary about Bruce Springsteen and I didn't love it that much. And I was like, it lacked a little bit of like, you know, focus in the storytelling. And I was like, but I am an award-winning documentarian. So I am a hard critic. And Brian was like, shut up. Shut up.
I'm surprised that he didn't immediately be like, can you talk to Kim about this? Because I don't want to be a part of this right now.
He was probably like, no, I remember I was there, unfortunately. We've been together for so long.
They have been together for so long, guys. Longer than me and Zaz, which is kind of nuts.
I know.
But we don't count that.
Nah, right? No. My life didn't begin until you walked in the door of 190 Warner Boulevard.
That's true.
188? 190.
190. Yeah. 188 was post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where Gilly Gals was.
Anyway, that's that scene. In Henson's class, Eddie and Joey are just this is so weird to me. They're hanging out in the classroom, smooching, not a fucking care in the world, right before Henson comes in for the final.
Yeah, like, reminder, Eddie is not a student at the school, never has been. And he's truly just like came back to Boston to cling on to Joey and like live her life.
And so he's going to walk her to class, including Hetson's class, where he punched him. The teacher he punched.
The teacher who wears flip flops that he punched.
Eddie thanks him for the recommendation for school. And listen, we hate Henson, but the way that Eddie thanks him for the recommendation is, I kind of thought that maybe I'd like to thank you. And Henson's like, what the fuck? Like, can you put a sentence together? I literally gave you a recommendation to be a writer.
Yeah, valid. The only time we'll ever agree with Henson.
Yeah. They start fighting and then Joey like kind of curbs their fight and sends Eddie away. And then it's going to be test time.
This is what Joey needs to focus on before her test.
I don't love it. And then in Pacey's office, Dawson calls. He is painting the house as they're talking, and he has chosen for the living room green,
but not like a cute sage green. It's like a
sage green would fucking fuck. There
in Cape Side, I know, and Gail would love it.
Oh my god, it would bring out her eyes.
Oh my god, it would. But no. Instead, he chooses kind of like a Nickelodeon slime green.
it's really bad. Heinous. It's awful. It's awful.
And he's like, "Pace, hey, can I have my money back?"
And Pacey says no.
This is no good. No good can come of this. We all, Biggie told us in the 90s, one of the 10 crack commands went, commandments.
What were they?
Keep family and business completely separated.
Oh, don't buy Step Attack.
The next line is like a bit homophobic, so I'm not going to quote it, but it's true. You never mix family and business with money.
The point of this scene is just to let us know that Dawson, all of Dawson's money is tied up in Pacey, and Pacey is using Dawson's money to buy Step Attack because it's a hot stock.
It's like guaranteed to win.
Or guaranteed.
Whatever the good thing is that stocks do.
Go up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Act three. Post-final, she's done. Now Joey and Eddie are talking about the tests as they walk around D-Town, B-Town. And it sounds like Joey Potter fucking aced that final.
Obviously. Even despite the pre-exam hysterics that happened with the non-student and teacher.
Can you imagine? Like, it's insane.
Insane. Joey's life has been insane.
So now Eddie can give Joey her present slash surprise that he has lined up for the summer before he leaves for California. And it is a backpack.
A red one.
Joey, it does not even pretend. She's like, what the fuck is this? Like she does not give one single care about this backpack, and I respect it.
Yeah. He has put her through too much. She's just like, oh, I don't get it. What? Please explain.
Use your words. But no, there's something in the backpack.
A book?
A book? How to travel Europe for $5 a day, which, okay. But also, for $5 a day, that's your big, I don't know.
I'm going to take you on a big trip on a budget, babe. And still Joey's like, what?
Okay. Yeah, it's not very clear.
No. And then he goes into this whole thing and we're still talking about how Joey could have gone to Paris. Like, guys, we all forgot about that storyline. Nobody cares about the Paris thing anymore.
Joey Potter, Paris head.
It's like, we're really still talking about how Joey almost went to Paris. Everyone was like, wait, what? Yeah. He was like, we can go all around the world. And Joey gets really excited for this. As if she hasn't done this over the summer before.
I gotta say, I think it's stupid, but I also kind of love for Joey the idea of like traveling Europe with her handsome boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, I love that for everyone, but until you start realizing how expensive that is and logistically how bad of an idea that is, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't have done that when I was that age. I didn't have any money.
Well, $5 a day. But also, I don't trust Eddie enough to like do an overseas vacation.
Oh, he's not researching those hostels, you know?
No.
He's not making sure they're a little bit clean.
No.
Did you ever stay in a hostel?
No. I'm not brave.
You do really need to be brave. I've stayed in a few and each one was its own story.
Well, famously, there's a movie called Hostel, which I didn't see because I'm not brave, but it looks scary.
Isn't it a scary movie?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So,
at Hell's Kitchen, Jack is there waiting for David. So remember that Jack was like, I don't know, maybe. Or David was like, I don't know, maybe we'll see. Who knows? Could fucking count me in, count me out. Who gives a shit? So Jack is there waiting like a good boy. But before David gets there, he catches from the window as Jack is talking to another guy for a second.
Oh my God. How dare he?
So Jack.
Jack, you David, dog.
It's not going well. So David already pissed off. Jack calls it out. David has decided what this conversation is without even knowing.
Yeah. The first thing Jack says to him, he's like, oh, I just ran into this bro from my sociology class. He's a nice guy anyway. What's up? Like, if it was anything bigger than that, my guy, he wouldn't have told you.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, again, you have massive trust issues.
What's three? Just for fucks.
Fucking Jack, man. I mean, of course people are going to talk to him. I would hit on him. At a bar.
Yeah.
And even after, he'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm not into women. I'd be like, challenge accepted, man. You know?
Yeah. David says that Jack led him on. At Halloween, when they met, Jack made David think he was one of the undead. And that is David's first example of the time, many, many times that Jack led him on. That's not anything.
I'm not even keeping track of this thread.
No. And then he breaks up with Jack, even though I thought they were already broken up.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, well, I was a bitch to you this afternoon because I said we were broken up, but we're actually broken up now. We weren't broken up before. We were like kind of broken up, and now we're officially broken up.
I want CJ and David to get together because they're both just terrible
lunatics.
Yeah. And then David leaves and Jack looks so sad.
Yeah. But don't be one Jack. You really dodged a bullet.
You really did. Yeah, you really did. One thing that David said that to Jack, which I guess gets under his skin because we'll come back to it, is that when David looks at Jack, all he sees is someone going through the motions of being in a relationship because he thinks it's the right thing to do.
He's projecting.
Yeah. Wow. That was beautiful.
I have been through a lot of therapy myself.
Oh, big brag.
Big brag. Listen, it is a big brag. Therapy is great.
It is. I hear. In the dorm. In the dorm, Joey and Eddie are planning their European vacation. It starts out very cute.
Yeah, it does like give you kind of a sense of this like wistful young fantasy of like planning a huge trip. You're like, should we go to Budapest or Prague first?
Yeah. And they want to go see all the dead writers. Mm. They're already dead. They're not going to like see them when they're dead, like kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Joey's like, hey, just gonna throw this out there because I'm Joey Potter and I've never once lived in the moment. And that's fine, by the way. When we come back, we're gonna be broke. Just like, so you know, we're gonna be super broke. And Jack or Eddie's like, hey, it doesn't matter. We're broke now. We'll be broke then. Fuck it. Who cares?
Our love will keep us warm.
It will not.
Oh.
I for a moment it will. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah, because it's so savage, but it doesn't come off this way. But it is when Joey's kind of like, I've done this before. I've done this with a boyfriend before and it didn't end well. So just letting you know. Ooh.
Also, if you're upset about the lack of sex here, just so you know, on the boat, when it was literally just the two of us, we read to each other.
We didn't even cuddle. We slept in separate hammocks.
So
I don't know if you're thinking I'm getting with you in a hostel or what, but it's not happening, my guy.
Then it kind of becomes like a conversation a little bit. It eases into a fight about how maybe they should not run from their problems as Eddie is wont to do. Maybe they should just like take a quick breath, work for 2 months to save some money, and then do a whole month in Europe, which is still, I don't mean to brag about my math skills, but a month. It's still a month.
Still significant. She's just so good when it comes to the calendar, you know?
It's my thing. I have one right there.
She has one attached to her lenses.
I wish. I do have one right here in front of me at all times. And then I have one to the left that only serves to piss me off.
Oh my gosh. She's happy.
I don't want to talk about it. It's not even about I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, the point is, I'll tell you off air. I'm not good. Talk about the calendar anymore. The point is, Eddie doesn't want to take a breath. He wants to go tomorrow. No.
Joey's kind of like, I got some loose ends to tie up here in my Ivy League school I go to.
Yeah. I thought this was a great written conversation. Not great for them as a couple, but a great understanding of these two characters. Because Joey's like, she's down for the trip, but she wants to be optimistic. Well, Eddie practical. Wants to do, yeah, or practical, not optimistic. Thank you. She wants to be realistic. So good with the calendar. Fucking shit with words. Eddie wants to do his own, like, on the road fantasy.
My God, Eddie. I'm so over this relationship. I got over this relationship so fast.
Yeah. It wasn't when he was like, why don't you get with me?
It was probably when he was like, hey, if I'm going to be a writer, I'm going to need some inspiration. So let's be together. Whether or not you like it. Or also, I'm moving in.
Yeah. Also, he's not nice to her in this conversation.
No. For some reason, Joey always hangs out with these guys who, when they argue, they just like turn into complete monsters to her.
Yeah. It sucks. It
does suck. She doesn't deserve that. She deserves a man who's like, babe, I hear you. I see you. You're valuable, but I disagree.
She doesn't even deserve that. She deserves, I hear you. I see you. You're valuable. Let's do it.
I will change my mind to adjust to your needs and wants.
Look at Zaz and I.
Yeah, I mean, there is nothing unhealthy or codependent about our relationship at all. So,
no, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool. Okay. Oh, that was the closest we've ever gotten to a fight.
No, it wasn't.
No, I agree. The next morning, anyway, so she tells Eddie to go sleep somewhere else for the night, to which Eddie probably was like, okay, but I'm homeless. Where?
Fucking is Booster? Audrey coming back tonight or?
The next morning at Pacey's fake job, Pacey comes in and the vibe is off. Nobody wants to hear about the sex he had, first of all. It's a weird vibe.
Guys, I had sex last night for the second time.
It's not, and no one cares because this is not the vibe in the office.
No.
He walks into Rich's office and learns that Stepatec did not get their FDA approval and the stock tanked.
Ooh, that's bad.
And Rich is like, fucking blows, am I right? And Pacey's like,
he's all telling someone on the phone not to kill themselves. And then he hangs up and he's like, anyway.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
It's really Pacey good vibes. Bad.
He told his clients to buy big.
Including, he had all of Dawson's money wrapped up in Stepatec.
All of Dawson's money. Stepatec is a great name for a fake stock, by the way, for a fake medical stock.
Yeah, it's good. Stepatec.
Act four. Joey is meeting with Hudson, who strolls in his fucking flip-flops.
Ugh.
Ugh. She tells Hudson that she is picking English as her major. And I was like, why was that even a question? Why was that a surprise? I thought that was kind of her deal.
Yeah. She's like a prolific writer and stuff now.
Yeah. She aced her final. She got an A-.
Could have been an A or an A+, but whatever.
Whatever. But that means that between the time that she skipped the midterm to go do sex stuff with Eddie and this A-, she has a C+ in the class.
I guess she's happy about that.
Yeah. Then they start talking about Catch 22 and how it is ultimately a book about taking a chance on life, taking a leap of faith. He quotes the book pulls a quote from the book saying, there's nothing negative about running away to save my life. I never read Catch 22, but that.
Me either. Good. Yeah, I actually liked the scene from a writing standpoint.
Yeah. And on that, Joey's going to run out, presumably to find Eddie. And then before she does, though, sweet, dumb, never met a project she couldn't fix, Joey Potter asks Hudson to be her advisor.
Joey, we were so close to getting rid of this guy.
I know.
And they have this like cute, pithy back and forth. Like, I don't want you to be in one of my classes again. And she's like, I wouldn't sign up for one of your classes again. Oh, God. It's like, go away.
And then in D-Town, One Tree Hill Town. So that's very clearly Wilmington.
Okay.
I can't think of anything that happened over there, but I know a lot of stuff did. It was very like, this is just kind of classic One Tree Hill. Actually, classic Tree Hill. Oh, you know what? Hang on one second. I just got Amazon delivered and I don't want someone to steal it. Okay. I'm a professional. I'm in pajama pants. Anyway, D-Town, Wintry Hill Town. Pacey is talking to Sadia about how he feels bad about losing all of Dawson's money. Everyone knew the risk, but Dawson didn't.
Well, sure. Yeah. He trusted Pacey. That's part of the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like part of the issue here. Sadia tells him not to feel bad, and then she's like, hey, can I get a quote from you? As a reminder, she's a reporter.
Right. Also, she's just like... She's like, anyway, I have a fiance now. So, like, is it in addition to the boyfriend? Did the boyfriend just propose? Did she kind of just downplay it before? I guess it doesn't matter because she's like, it's so boring.
She does.
And then her and Pacey kind of break up, I guess.
It's a banner day for Pacey.
I know. He's just like, wait, what? It's happening.
Yeah. Then back at the helpline. So, okay, we'll talk about the helpline scene in a second. We got to talk about Jen. Jen's hair is now long enough to put into a little pony. And later, yes. In later episodes, in next week's episode, back to being short again. In later episodes, longer. So they must have added this in?
It could have been a... she wasn't in this entire episode except for this one scene.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been a pickup.
So then I was like, oh, maybe they pre-shot all that stuff with her terrible haircut, and the terrible haircut was for a movie. But then I looked it up, and I couldn't find anything that would make that line up.
Hmm. It's still a lovely theory.
Thank you. I just want there to be a reason for...
We just want there to be some justification for this haircut.
Yeah. It looks cute in a little pony, though.
Yeah, because you can see her cute little face.
Yeah, that's all we're looking for here.
We just want to see her little cheeks.
Yeah. Anyway, Jen's in this episode and it's nice. Jack is at the helpline offices because he's sad and Jen's there to comfort. They're not even doing helpline stuff. I guess they just couldn't get the Sugar Shack location for the scene, so they did it at the helpline.
Yeah, because there was a very good chance he was going to run into David there. Like, that's where he works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what do we know?
Jack asks Jen if she thinks that Jack was going out with David to prove that he could be in a relationship, which I was like, oh, I got to mention this thing. I point that out because, like, Jack was in a relationship with Toby.
Yeah.
Jack is a relationship guy.
Yes, he's not, like, a bad relationship guy. He's no Joey Potter, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we love Joey. She's never done anything wrong in her entire life, but she's shit at relationships.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
And then Jen gives a very sweet pep talk to Jack, and Jack says, you know, and he talks about David like he said. He's like, you know, David used to always say that you and CJ were gonna end up together.
Ugh.
God, kill me. It's a nice scene. They're cute together. We love Jack and Jen, but like, ugh.
But I wanted Jack to be like, I already found my soulmate and it's you. And I just want to find a guy to hang out with and fook. Since I'm not like physically attracted to you at all. But I love you.
Oh. Yeah.
No, that's Jack saying it to Jen.
Oh. And I don't care. I felt like I was going to do that joke about halfway through your very cute speech about what Jack should say. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Then with Pacey, the last call of the day is to Dawson. His secretary assistant asks, hey, do you want me to call Dawson? And he says no. And then it's actually brutal. He goes to Rich and asks if Rich can loan Pacey a little bit of money.
Do we remember how much the money was that Dawson gave him that he lost?
It's like $17,000.
Goo.
So it's a lot for Dawson and it's a lot for Pacey. It's not that much for Rich.
Must be nice.
I know, right? He tells Rich how he put all of Dawson's money into StepTac and he wants to do right by Dawson. So all he wants to do is give Dawson back his initial investment. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he'll figure out the rest, which is, he's trying to do the right thing.
I know. He's so torn up about this. And Rich needs braces guy is like, fucking no, dude.
Yeah, it's very, and he's very, that's exactly how he says it too. It's like, you idiot.
Yeah, and then things get spicy.
Yeah, so before we talk about how spicy it gets, I just want to point out that, like, also coming off of Jack looking like this, just everyone in this episode towards the end, this act four, looks sad and young.
Dark, they look night like of the soul.
Kids again. Yeah. And I think that's important. We're headed towards the end. It's good that they look like kids again.
Yeah, it's true. That's a very great observation. So astute.
Thank you. I'm drinking tea. I have allergies.
So Pacey and Pacey and Rich start making out. That's how spicy. Whoa! It is.
How are the kiss sounds?
Not as good as you would think. No, they start fighting amongst the most explosive PCs in history.
Sparks fucking everywhere.
Like, an electrician should come the next day and check all of the connections here, because as soon as they like put a finger on one of the monitors, it explodes.
Yeah.
So they're just wrestling. Computers are blowing up. It's a crazy scene.
Nobody is kissing.
No one is even kissing.
It sucks.
It's the worst.
Eddie is doing, and then, so then, boom, you know, PC.
No Eddie.
Oh, yeah, you know what? But I wrote Eddie, so can
Eddie's
I just.
Not in this scene.
Hang on. Then who the fuck is Pacey's boss?
Rich.
Whoa. Pacey, I wrote Eddie, though. Rich. So
that's
Pacey.
So wrong.
I know, but I'm telling you why I was wrong. I was wrong multiple times. So Pacey punches Rich. Punk. That's the sound. And then his lip is split, apparently. And so he's like, Pacey, you're fired. But instead of being like, ah, oh, my lip is split, Pacey, you're fucking fired, his acting is that he just stuck his tongue clearly along the gum line. So then he's like, hey, you're fucking fired. What is that? Like, it's awful. You can't, he does a terrible job of talking with a fake split lip.
The guy is a terrible actor.
Sorry,
ooh,
Rich.
Sorry. I realize he's probably listening.
Yeah, for sure. Big time. He's on the next podcast, my next podcast, actually. So we're kind of screwed there. I won't let him listen.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In the dorm, Audrey is reading the $5 Europe in a day for $5 a day, whatever it is, book, which probably, I could just see Audrey being like, this is for poors.
Are you poor?
I did not know you were poor before you got here. That sucks. And then Joey comes in and pushes her to sign up for summer school. And then she's like, I'm going to go to Europe for the summer. And she's young and happy. And then she sees a note on her phone.
And it's Eddie breaking up with her.
And it's, again, it's not like, Joey, you're amazing. You're Joey Potter. I'm never going to do better than you, but we have differences and I have to do this. It literally is like, dear Joey, you're too afraid of life.
Like, my guy, I was doing perfectly fine until you showed up at my job begging for me back.
So I could be your muse.
Yeah. Did this for you.
So now she's young and sad again.
Young and sad and single.
Oh.
And she's going to Europe still, or now maybe no?
I don't know.
She's like, oh, maybe not.
Well, so $5 a day is, ugh. Seems like that's not for me too, though. There's got to be a happy medium here.
Yeah.
And then at the Leary house of Young and Sad, Pacey is outside, presumably to talk to Dawson.
Uh-oh.
And that's our episode.
They really know how to keep you on a cliff.
Next week, season 6, episode 21, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. I said, hey, episode 19 is like the last of the bad, and now we're getting into, you know, we're geared up to end the series. And things are getting good again. How did you feel about this episode?
I can see the trajectory of them picking things up. So I don't hate that as much. It wasn't that great of an episode, but I see where they're going with setting up the big finale. So it's fine.
Okay. Now let's take away other TV shows. Let's only judge it by season 6 standards.
Okay.
Better?
I'm just curious
how you felt. No, oh no, you've never done anything wrong in your entire life.
I think I'm answering an interview.
Okay, how many windows do you think there are in the country?
Stained glass?
I'm sorry, you're fired.
No. Did I get the job?
No. You know what? You're back in, actually.
I'm an optimist.
I did not get a job recently. I applied for a job just like for shits and gigs. And they wrote me to say no. And I wrote them
back. That's
kind. Yeah. Well, I'm getting a lot of those lately. So then I wrote them back. Alternatively, please? ? Because I was like, really? I have nothing to lose. Yeah.
So Kim.
Ayo. Zaz. What's up? Natural transition? Cut nothing out of this. What's up?
Yeah. Super smooth. So you were a bit of a calendar aficionado. If anyone needed some
advice.
Yeah. If anyone needed some advice on how to manage a calendar, a personal calendar, where can they find you?
Well, you can book time with me on my Calendly, obviously, as I have available. You can also get at me at Kim Moffitt on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn. Oh, LinkedIn, Kim-Moffitt.
Sure.
That one out there since we're talking cows. stupid. Also at Kim Moffitt is here on TikTok, talking ticks about who knows what, calendars probably.
Talking Ticks with Kim is probably my favorite social media app that she's on because I get to see her face and I pretend that she's talking to only me.
I usually am.
And it's just really nice. It's like a little TV show with my best friend in it. When I can't sleep at night. 4 a.m.
Aw, wake me up.
But you're sleeping.
Not really.
Same.
Usually not. Yeah.
Same.
I use this.
Yes.
If someone wanted to talk to you about healthy boundaries in a friendship, where can they find you?
I'm so glad that you can come to me about this because, again, I feel like I'm the wise older sister and I know so much about healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram only at Ashley Zaz. I guess I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah, I guess I'm on LinkedIn, but it's nothing really interesting. Also, my favorite social media app, Goodreads.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, baby.
Show has no social media needs, of course, and that's a boundary that I decided that we would put up. So,
well, she was wrong about it because we do have social media needs. It's 2024. Who doesn't have social media needs?
Nice save.
Thank you. We're at Dawson's Darlings on Instagram. And wow, the responses that we've gotten to some of our latest episodes, unreal.
Do you want to read some?
Yeah. iTunes calls it one of the podcasts on their platform.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
The LA Times, heard of it, calls Dawson's Darlings a podcast. So
wow.
I think you know where I'm going with this.
Well, do you want to keep going or do you feel like we've reached our destination?
I'll just give you one more because I really don't want to seem braggy. Joshua Jackson. Oh. He says, this one is not for me. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big names there. Just knowing Jeepers. We exist. So.
Jeepers. Okay. Creepers. Copy. Noted. Noted. No. Oh, creepers.
Jeepers. Creepers. That was a bop in 1945.
I remember it well. All right. Well,
I guess we'll see on the thing. It's the thing.